This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, Romans 12 and 3 and Hebrews 11 and 1. Romans 12 and 3 and Hebrews 11 and 1. How many want to be taught about faith on tonight? All right, my series, because I'm going to teach it tonight, I'm going to teach it Friday night, and then I'm going to teach it Sunday. So it's going to be probably a three-part series, and the series entitled Have Faith in God. Have Faith in God. So Romans 12 and 3 and Hebrews 11 and 1, and this will be part one of our series of Have Faith in God. All right, now once you get born again, now y'all know I'm a teacher, so pastor's just going to just walk through the word, and we're going to get to where we're going. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, once you get born again, God gives you the measure of faith, all right? The measure of faith. Romans 12 and 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man, what class? The measure of faith. Now, the faith that he is referring to is the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. The Bible says that all men have not faith, and it means the God kind of faith. Because all men have natural faith, but natural faith is based on senses, all right? But the faith that I'm talking about comes from the Word of God and is given to every believer. Now, everything in the kingdom of God is accessed or activated by faith. To all my people online that are typing, that's a good key. Everything in the kingdom of God is accessed or activated by faith. And for the most part, you got to get this now, it does not agree with your senses. All right. And so pastor really wants, as much as I really want to preach and just jump off this stage, I really want to take my time, because by the time you leave, I'm telling you, not only are you going to be increased in faith, you're going to learn something you didn't know about faith. All right. See, sense knowledge makes no faith, and faith knowledge makes no sense. Our mind, for the most part, has been trained by a system that is based on the satisfaction of reasoning, which has input from the senses. This young man is going to teach, because I can feel the anointing. But see, faith is different. Everybody say faith is different. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen, or watch this, or not perceived by the senses. So then what is your evidence? It's faith. All right. Now, let me give it to you in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Watch this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is what? Not revealed to the senses. Now, right there, for you to operate in faith, you must leave your senses behind. And for a lot of people, that's too much for them, all right? Why? Because you are going to have to believe for something you don't have any proof of, all right? But you've got to understand this. You got to get this. Misplaced faith. Everybody say misplaced faith. Misplaced faith, get this now, is trying to have faith in something else a little bit other than God. But faith demands that God be not only your source, but your only source, right? Okay, good class. And so, and you got to understand, and God is invisible. For John 4 and 24 says that God is a spirit, right? How many know that faith is a spirit? All right, so let me turn the chapter. And whether you know it or not, fear is a spirit. All right, and that is why you cannot deal with fear naturally. You cannot deal with fear naturally. Heard the story of a little boy who lived on a dirt road in some backcountry woods, and it was a community back there, and it was just a dirt road. And the way you got to their community is there was just this one road, and there was this big tree in the middle, just big old oak tree, been there 100 and some years. And the only way to get there is when you're going, you had to go around the tree to get there. And when you're coming back, you had to go around the tree. And this tree had a reputation. And the reputation was, if you ever were to go down to the middle of the road and go down to that tree in the middle of the night and put your arms around that tree, that tree would swallow you in. You got it? And it would suck you in and you would never get out. And do you know nobody would ever go down there and try to put them arms around that tree? So it's amazing how people will believe crazy stuff. But when you tell them Jesus bore your sickness and infirmity on a tree, when you tell them he became poor that through his poverty you might be rich, and rich means abundantly supplied, because they can't see it with their natural senses, they back up. So we have to move from a place of fear to a place of faith, from a place of sense knowledge to a place of revelation knowledge, that we say, if God said it in his word, I don't need to see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, I believe God. Does that make sense? So fear cannot be dealt with naturally. Put up Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter and the 1st verse. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. When the Lord thy God, now this is a spirit of God is giving Moses instructions. And he says, when the Lord thy God, and this is for the children to go into the promised land. And remember, when they were going into the promised land, I don't really want to get too far into this, but you know, they sent the 12 spies, right? And you remember 10 came back with the bad report, 2 came back with the good report. Do you know how many people there were that were there besides the 12? There was about 3 million people there. All right, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. That's just something I want you to remember. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and what class? Mightier than thou. See, these are spirits. These are strong men, and they can't be dealt with naturally because they are stronger than you. But guess what? They're not stronger than God. All right? Everyone in this room that is born again, you have God on your side. And the Bible teaches us, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so you've got to see, you got to understand something. See, a spirit doesn't come when a person gets frightened. That's just when it manifests. So the spirit of fear will wait for an opportunity for you to possess the promises of God, for you to step out for the job, for you to go and do this and go that. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, you're not good enough. You know, when you go to the doctor for the report, it's going to be bad. And see, the spirit of fear will try to manifest to get you to back up from a spirit of faith over into the spirit of fear, so you can lose the promises of God in your life. But we already know that the promises of God are yes and amen, to the degree I will believe and stand on it, right? So there are promises that are out there. Watch this. My salvation, right? My healing, right? My peace, my joy, my prosperity. There's all these promises that are out there. Watch this. But it's on the other side of fear. You got to step over into faith. So what does it take to get through it? It takes faith. And God has given you faith. But your faith has to be developed for it to work. Your faith has to be developed. And faith does the work. Everybody say faith does the work. See, faith is the servant of the believer. Faith does the work, and you've got to learn how to start putting your faith to work and let faith do the job. Faith gets the job done, and it's my objective over these next few days to show you how to let faith do the job instead of you trying to do the job. Because when we try to do the job, we don't do such a good job. But if we will let faith be that servant and do the job, we will possess every promise that we see in the word of God that we release faith for. All right. So now every believer has what kind of faith, class? The God kind of faith, right? So we said human faith can only do so much, but the God kind of faith can remove mountains in your life. All right. See, the more you are developed in fear, the faster the fear will manifest. But the more you are developed in faith, the faster the faith will manifest. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Watch this. Fear is a substance of things not hoped for. So we have to stay out of fear and stay in faith. This is why when Jesus would show up, he'd say, fear not. When the angels would show up, they would say, fear not. I did the research, and fear not is in the Bible 365 times. Why would they always say fear not? Because fear cannot receive from God. All right? And so every time you try to receive a promise from God, fear will try to show up. You got it? But that is why pastor's teaching you these principles of faith. So even when fear tries to show up, you can cast that thing down and keep walking by faith and get everything that belongs to you. All right? All right. So we talked about faith so far is a spirit. We also said that faith is a servant. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about faith being a servant a little bit later if we get to it. Something else I want you to make a note of is that faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. Everybody say faith has a voice. All right. So we need to stop listening to the world. Got two amens in the whole house. No, we need to stop listening to the world, because if you listen to the world, you come down to the level of the world. So the only way something becomes impossible for you is if you're not using your faith. All right? So faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. Blind Bartimaeus, he was blind, but he heard about Jesus. Right? And he's listening to what everyone's saying. And so faith gets on the inside of him, and the crowd is there. There's a lot going on, but he hears. He hears them saying, I see him afar off. He's getting a little bit closer. You got it? He's not quite as tall as I thought he was going to be. You know just how people talk. And so blind Bartimaeus is just listening, because now as he realizes that Jesus is getting closer and the people are getting louder, watch this, the voice of faith. Son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody say, man, be quiet. He ain't studying you right now. He's just coming through. Son of David, have mercy. Man, you better be quiet. See, they weren't blind. Right? And so what happens? Jesus stops. Why? What does Jesus hear? He hears the voice of faith, because faith has a voice. And so he did not hear was some old pity party. He didn't hear, Jesus, I've been blind since my birth, and nobody helps me, and you don't got to make a special trip, but while on others thou art calling, don't pass me by. I've been climbing up the rough side of the mountain, and I'm sometimes up and sometimes down. And Jesus, if you could just do anything. That is not what he heard. When Jesus heard the voice of faith, you know what Jesus heard? Jesus heard, watch this. Jesus heard, Son of David, I've heard about you. I've heard that you perform miracles. I've heard you did this, and I've heard you did this. And I believe you could do the same thing for me. It was the voice of faith. Mark 10 and 51, let's pick up in this story. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, what? Go thy way. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, when? Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Everybody says faith has a voice. So you have to stop trying to reason stuff out and start walking by faith. Stop trying to figure stuff out and start walking by faith. Stop trying to always trying to figure God out and how's he going to do this. And see, God has a part to play, and we have a part to play. And so I promise you, if we do our part, God will always do his part. Does that make sense? There was another man that was blind. Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And then, you know, of course, the Pharisees and all, they were all upset. They go to the man's parents, and they can't understand. Who does he think he is on the Sabbath? They trying to heal people. And you know, and the parents are like, man, don't come talking to me. He is of age, talking about his son. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. And so then they go and they talk to the man, and they say, well, can you explain to me what happens? And because we don't understand about this man named Jesus, who says he is the Son of God, and it's the Sabbath, and the law says this, and the law, that blind, well, he wasn't blind anymore. That man said, man, I don't want to reason with you. I'm not trying to figure anything out. I don't care about the law. I don't care about the Sabbath. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. You got to stop trying to figure stuff out, and you got to start letting faith work for you. Somebody say, walk by faith. That was good, and I know you got the mask on, but one more time, somebody say, walk by faith. There you go. See, you got to learn how to walk by faith and not worry about anything. Anytime Jesus opened his mouth, it was faith. That is why when I'm going to come to that in a minute. But that is why when Jesus called forth Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, watch this, heard the voice of faith and came hopping right out of that tomb. You know, they used to wrap him up in the day. Do you know that is why Jesus had to say, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he'd have just said, come forth, everything would have come hopping out that grave. Because the moment Jesus opened his mouth, there was the voice of faith. And if you were received, it would work for you. Does that make sense? How many know even when you're offended, you got to walk by faith? Isn't that right? John the Baptist is in jail. And he sends some of his disciples to go talk to Jesus and says, ask him, is he the one or should we look for another one? John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the one, but Jesus chose not to get offended. Jesus chose not to get upset. In other words, the voice of faith says, go back and tell John that the lame walk and the dumb speak and the deaf hear and the blind receive their sight. And blessed are those who are not offended, but receive me because they can walk by faith and not by sight. That make any sense? Oh, yes, indeed. Luke 17:5. And I don't care about no pandemic. This year, you coming out. This year, you coming out of some stuff. This year, God's going to break some things. This year, you're going to be released from some stuff. This year, you're going to be released into some things. This is going to be the year like them brothers went to the gate of beautiful and told a man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they picked him up and snatched those beggar clothes off of him. I'm telling you, somebody about to get snatched out of debt. Somebody about to get snatched out of a bad relationship. Somebody's about to get snatched out of a bad report because you chose to hear the voice of faith. My God, my God, my God. Man, I got my mind made up and my heart fixed that if I can teach you faith and you can get this thing and move away from the sense knowledge and start walking by revelation knowledge, that absolutely anything is possible for you. Paying your car off by the end of the year is possible. Paying your house off by the end of the year is possible. If you believe, all things are possible to him that believe. But what God is looking for is somebody that will believe. All right? Luke 17:5. Let me show you something. Let me keep teaching. I'm teaching good, so let me keep teaching. I'm excited, but I got to keep teaching. All right. Watch here, 17:5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And sometimes I think people would just, you know, walk up to me and think I could just lay hands on them and their faith is just going to be increased. Because if that's the case, then I just lay hands on my own self. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, just increase my faith. Well, let me ask you something. Do you increase your muscles by eating apple pie? Homie, eating apple pie. Lord, I believe I receive more muscles in Jesus' name. Now, you don't do that, right? You have to go to the gym and work out. Isn't that right? Yeah, I mean, some of y'all saying, Lord, Pastor, I wish it did work that way. But it doesn't work that way. Faith increases with your use. Faith increases, all my online, because I know y'all are doing a lot of typing too. Faith increases with your use, all right? So I'm all this is going to come together a little bit later, but faith is a spirit, and faith is a servant, and faith has a voice, and faith increases with your use. Luke 6:17-6 says, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree. Now the Greek, if you look in the Greek, it actually says you would say, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. The Greek says that it would obey you. So now he's talking about this principle of the God kind of faith. You take the seed, which is the word of God. You got it? Say the seed, which is the word of God. And what you do with this seed is you say it. All right. And once you say it, you have now sown it into the soil of your heart. And your heart is designed to bring forth whatever you have sown into it, all right? But it takes time, it takes patience, it takes development, but it will work. And it will bring forth, independent of anything that's going on around, it'll bring forth whatever you have released faith for. All right, let's pick it up, Luke 17:7. He says, but which of you having a servant, everybody say faith, is a servant. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say to him by and by when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat? No, that's not going to happen. Verse 8, and will not rather say to him, hey, go make me something to eat that I may sup and gird thyself and serve me first till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. See, faith is a servant, and you must put faith to work. You must put faith to work. Faith is a servant, and you've got to put faith to work. And you've got to understand that just like you feed your natural body, you got to feed, watch this, you got to feed faith. You got to feed faith. You got to let faith have 2 and 3 extra plates. You understand? You got to feed faith and let faith work overtime. Watch this. When you are feeling a little weak and you eat something, doesn't it strengthen your body? Well, the more faith you receive, the more it increases, it strengthens your spirit, man, and increases your faith. You got it? All right? So you got to get this. Now, once you get into faith, your destiny cannot be denied. Once you get in it, I don't care what comes or what goes, your destiny cannot be denied. And faith will be the only fight that you'll ever have to fight. You won't have to fight Pookie and them. You won't have to fight nobody, because faith does the work. Faith gets the job done. All right. So let me show you how faith is released. So now let's drop down to Luke 17 and 11. Luke 17 and 11. Y'all getting blessed? All right. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. Now remember, faith has a voice, right? So whenever you're murmuring and complaining and criticizing, you're not in faith. Matter of fact, in the wilderness, it's what caused them not to go into the promised land. So an attitude of complaining, criticizing, it opens the door to the devil. So because you got to understand, faith is a spirit, right? That's why when people come to church and they leave, they're like, man, Pastor, I felt so good. Today was so good, because faith is a spirit, but you can feel that spirit. You got it? Now that's as long as you're coming into a faith church. You understand? Now you coming into the church and the pastor's saying, I sure miss y'all, because it's been a long 6 months without y'all and I fell into a little bit of depression, but I talked to somebody and they helped me out of it. And then I told my wife, I'm not sure if we should be married anymore, because it's just real hard. Man, you be like, oh. Right? And probably walk out and not ever come back. But when you get in the house and you begin to feel the spirit of faith, you got it? It's like it's a shot in your arm. It's a boost to remind you that all things are possible if you believe. To remind you that these things that I'm going through are temporary. You got it? And they're not to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in my life. So, if I was complaining and always climbing up the rough side of the mountain, then you'd be a mess. Because that's religion. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but religion rejects your God-like identification. All right? Religion rejects your God-like identification. So you are in this world, but you are not of this world. All right? And you are not God, but you are like God, and you've been given authority to rule and reign in the earth. You are a speaking spirit. And so if you notice that God said, let there be, and let there be, and let there be, and let there be. Watch this now. And then once God made Adam, he said, God stopped talking and said, now you say it, because he gave man dominion and authority. And we are not God, but we are just like God, because the writer says, as he is, so are we in this earth. And so just like God said, let there be, now when we speak, it's supposed to come to pass. So I don't have to quit my job because it's a bad environment. I open my mouth and I curse all the strife, all the envy, and everything that's not like God. I don't got to leave my job, but that strife and envy got to leave. Does that make sense? Yeah, and you got to learn how to start speaking to stuff. You got to, Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to dead men. He spoke to wind. He spoke to seas, and they all obeyed him. And you got to learn how to speak. Start speaking to stuff. You know, Pastor, I got all these bills, and I say, well, when's the last time you talked to him? What you talking about? You better start speaking to that stuff. All right. So Luke 17 and 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go. Show yourselves to the priests. So Jesus is coming. He's entering. They're afar off. They say what they say to Jesus. Jesus said, hey, go show yourself to the priest. So they're heading one way. Jesus is going about his business, right? And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. So he goes back to Jesus with a loud voice and glorifies God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even church folks. And Jesus answering, this is deep right here. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Now remember, they already went on their way. So he said, where are the other nine? How did Jesus know? He knew by faith. He knew that the moment that he opened his mouth and spoke to them, that it happened immediately. Does that make sense? You know, I remember when we were having service and Corey and Margaret started coming to the church. And at that time, Margaret was in a wheelchair. I don't know if any of y'all remember that. And I had never met Corey and Margaret at that time. And they were coming. I would go by every once in a while and just say, you know, just greet her and say hi. And then just keep on going and just going about my business. And then one day we were up here and we were worshiping God right before a ministry moment. And the Lord says, tell Margaret she gonna walk again. And I remember, because I know the voice of God, and I knew it was God, but I was like, God, you better be right about this. Because, you know, so far in New Bern, I got a pretty good reputation. How many know it's not about my reputation? How many know it's about what God said? Isn't that right? You got it. And so when I spoke it, you have to understand, just like when Jesus spoke it, you got it, he believed what he spoke. I had to believe what I spoke because I realized it wasn't coming from me, but it was coming from God. Does that make sense? You know, and then they brought Margaret down. We laid hands on her. We prayed the prayer of faith. You understand what I'm saying? And not overnight, but over time. Now, please understand, Margaret attached her faith. Her faith was on it too. You got it? You can't just have pastor's faith on it. You got it? Corey's faith was on it. You got their family's faith was on it. You got it? And now y'all know, stand up, Margaret. Y'all know she ain't in no wheelchair no more. And so before, if I'd have done an illustration, you got it, and I want to say, I need to give $100, walk over here and give $100. I couldn't have done that with Margaret because she was in a wheelchair, right? But now I can say, Margaret, just walk over here and just let me get you this $100. She ain't going to walk. She going to run. And the Lord said, tell her she's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And Margaret is getting stronger and stronger. She started serving. She started greeting. And even now, there are a few things that are still lingering. And I hear the Spirit of God saying that that is leaving your body now at the authority of the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The centurion told Jesus, he says, my servant. He said, he is home. Jesus said, I'll come heal him. He said, you ain't got to come. He said, listen, if you could just speak the word only, and my servant who is 20 miles away shall be healed. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get you to the point that the moment you release faith and open your mouth, even if it's miles away, it will come to pass. Because see, you can't go by your senses. Because if you go by your senses, you will be limited by your senses. You got it? If you go by distance, you will be limited by your distance. But saints of God, God doesn't have to be anywhere to be everywhere. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And to the degree I will move away from sense knowledge and have revelation knowledge, I'll see God do amazing things in my life. Amen. If you're going to give me a clap, give me a good clap. Everybody say faith gets the job done. Yeah, faith gets the job done. Faith gets the job done. See, I heard this story about this little dog, and this owner had this little dog. Y'all can tell them to come, because if I go into this next part, it's going to take me about 20 minutes, and I don't have 20 minutes, so y'all can let them know they can come. All right. I mean, I ain't done yet, but I'm just saying. I heard this story about this this man that had this little dog, just real little dog. You know, we got a little dog. Praise the Lord. And so, the little dog would go down the neighborhood, and the big dogs would, you know, try to jump on the little dog. And the little dog would jump on the big dogs and beat the big dogs every time. And then one of the neighbors said, man, He said, how in the world? He said, how in the world does your little dog, he said, how does he always beat up on them big dogs? And the owner of the dog, he said, oh, that's easy. He just stay mad all the time. You know, there's a spiritual component to that. You got it? Because he said he just stay mad all the time. And sometimes you just got to get mad at the devil and just stay mad at the devil. Let him know, listen, I ain't playing with you no more. You ain't stealing nothing from me. I'm going to get back all my stuff. You understand? He explained to him, he says, well, what happens is, he said, the little dog is mad and he jumps on the big dog. And by the time the big dog gets mad, the little dog has already beat him. You got it? And so what you got to do is you got to be mad, got it? And that way if the devil even try to come your way, you already jump on him even before he gets mad. Now, I'm not trying to say walk around and always have a sour face. I'm talking about being mad at the devil. Because watch this. What I'm trying to say is, if you get comfortable with lack, you'll never be able to whoop the big dog. If you get comfortable with sickness, you'll never be able to beat the big dog. If you get comfortable with anxiety or depression, you'll never be able to whoop the big dog. But when you realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I've got scripture that I can scroll through that tells me who I am, that I'm an ambassador, that I'm a king's kid, that I've been seated in heavenly places, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you will start reading it and speak to yourself and keep speaking to yourself and keep speaking to yourself, it will build you up and you'll have faith to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. Does that make sense? All right, everybody say, whoop the big dog. Whoop the big dog. Yeah, it's just, you know, you just got to whoop the big dog, all right? I can't go into that right now. We're going to pick this up tomorrow. Are y'all getting blessed? All right. Let's play something, Court. Let's go home. Let's do this. It's my job to teach you faith to the degree that no matter what it looks like, that no matter what it feels like, that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that you understand faith to the degree that you don't have to get frustrated, that you don't have to get upset, that you don't have to get mad, that you don't have to fuss anybody out, that you don't have to cuss anybody out, because you know how to walk by faith. And you know that faith will get the job done, not sometime, but every time. Does that make sense? And so sometimes when I hear things, whether it's a staff, my wife, somebody called me, you know, something that's, this happened. You know, why get upset? Because, watch this, faith is not frustrating. When I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation that God, watch this, is not going to move on my behalf, but he's already moved on my behalf. So we're on Noose Boulevard. How many of y'all remember Noose Boulevard? Some of y'all remember Noose. And man, I'm telling you, in the early days, Lady LaConte and I, we covered everything. We covered the rent on the place was $8,500. We just did it. Why? Because we ain't had enough people coming to pay that kind of money. What you got? Oh, I got one. Yeah, it's revival. Yes, yeah, it's revival. Oh, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so we covered everything and those kind of things, you know, being in business, God bless us to be able to do that. And so things starting to get where people are picking up, people are coming, people are giving tithes and offerings. We paid for the first couple staff that we ever hired. We paid their salary personally, you know, and those kind of things. And things are starting to turn where, you know, we don't have to pay the $8,500 every month. And we're like, bless the Lord. You know, and some of y'all ain't saying too much, but if you had to give $8,500, now I didn't mind, you know, because it was a seed. You know, attorney told me you should have loaned all that money to the church. And when the church got good, you could have got your money back. I said, no, that's my seed that secures my future. Because I sowed, I will never be broke a day in my life. I will never have a need that God will not take care of. But I am getting pretty happy that I can keep my money. And so he says, tell the people that it's time to build. I said, excuse me. And so he said, tell them that you're going to build and break ground. And so, you know, Lady LeConte and I, we started driving around New Bern trying to see what was available as far as land and all these kind of things. And so, you know, God told me to do it. And so that's what I did. I got up and I told the people that we're going to build and break ground. And, you know, and so, you know, everybody's excited. You got it. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out what God is doing because, we had just gotten to a good place over there. I'm like, we could do two or three or four services over there. Everything going to be all right, you know, but it wasn't our own. And so I remember, you know, we found, I think, this piece of land. And then we started looking at everything. We ended up right back at this piece of land. And so God, you know, started helping us in certain areas, and now it's time for me to activate my faith at the next level. Because next point, which we're not going to get to tonight, is that faith speaks. All right, and so I had to get up and tell you all and declare that we're going to build and break ground. And matter of fact, I said we're going to build and break ground this year in Jesus' name. Right. And so, man, everybody's excited. You got it. And I mean, just excited. We go into a home that's our own. You know, Pastor, when you build it big, you know. And I'm thinking, ooh, you going to put in on building big, you know. And so what I had to do was, watch this. Faith also needs agreements. So I talked to you all, and you all got an agreement. And so then I called all my pastor friends and I told them what God told me. And I said, without limits is building and breaking ground. They said, well, bless God, without limits is building and breaking ground. I said, okay, we got some momentum going. You got it? And so then I called I called a builder because I wanted to get some pricing. And he said, well, what are you doing? I said, we're going to build and break ground. Well, who are y'all? Without Limits Christian Center. Oh, Without Limits Christian Center is building and breaking ground. Yep, Without Limits Christian Center is building and breaking ground. He said, well, if you're going to build anything, you're going to need an architect. So I went and talked to an architect. And I told the architect, Without Limits Christian Center is building and breaking ground. So the architect started saying that, well, you know, he's talking to me like we about to build next week, right? And my thing is, I can go as far as my faith can take me. You know, Pastor, did he know you didn't have no money at that time? He didn't need to know I didn't have any money at that time. At that time, he did not ask for a check. And at that time, I didn't do anything without integrity. And he said, well, if that's the case, you need to go down to zoning and schedule a meeting to sit before everybody, you know, to tell them you're going to build and break ground. He said, you know, but it costs. I said, how much? He said, $200. I said, okay, let's have the meeting. I can have $200. So went down there, man. I'm telling y'all, we didn't have no money in the bank. Nobody was, no banks were. I say no money in the bank, you know, money in the bank just to pay normal bills, you know, not $2 million facility kind of money. And so we had, I mean, these people thought we was about to like break ground next week. It was a lot of older gentlemen. They were like, oh, that's impressive, young man, you know, and that kind of thing. And also, so it's happening quick. I said, yes, sir, it's happening quick. So you're building down there at Washington Post Road? Yes, sir, we're building down there at Washington Post Road. You got it? Well, when exactly do you expect to break? Soon and very soon, sir. We want to get right on top of it. I think that'll be a good rallying point. Yes, sir, that's going to be a great rallying point. What am I doing? I'm speaking, watch this, by faith, because if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word, whether it be the logos word, the written word, or the rhema word, it's got to come to pass in my life. And so I got all this agreement. So I go to bank one, they say no. Bank four says no. Bank seven says no. Bank 17 says no. I mean, just bank after bank after bank. And I told lady, we're just going to do it ourselves. We're just going to do it. We're going to get the loan ourselves to find out that we couldn't do that because it was a church. And you cannot do that. And so now we could be the personal guarantors on the loan, but the church had to have the loan in its own name because we're 501c3. We do everything the right way. Everything's through the IRS. We do it. We dot every I and cross every T twice. Right? Because, you know, prison ministry is not for me. You ask Ellen. I tell Ellen, if it's shady, I don't want it. They said they'll give you all this money. Well, where did it come from, and how do we track it? And you know, because if it's a little funny, y'all keep that because I like my freedom. Amen. Mm-mm. So finally, the Lord, after I don't know 20 some banks, the Lord says, go down to this place. It was called the Little Bank. Went to the Little Bank and. Now I'm a business. I'm a pastor, but I'm also a businessman. So I put together my own loan packets, and we had all of our financials together, and I had already had some plans. And so when I walk in, I'm talking to the gentleman, made an appointment, you know, and went in and talked to him, and I understand how to dress. I understand what colors they respect, what colors they don't respect. I know the whole thing. You understand what I'm saying? And so you know, talking to them, and looking them in the eye, shaking them hand. Very confident, you know, all those kind of things. I'm articulating my words. I'm telling you, it's all got to work together, right? And so I walk in, and then he said, well, let me make copies of this. I said, oh no, all these are copies. They belong to you. You got it? See, that's something else. I just taught you right there, right? So I'm showing him, this young man got it together. And so he got so excited about it. He got so excited about it. And he says, man, the board meets on so-and-so, so I'm taking this to the board. He said, and this is what he said. He said, I believe we could do this. And watch this. It wasn't even the part that he said, we can do this. He said, I believe. And so I'm excited, man. Now I'm like, I'm telling lady, it's on like popcorn. You understand what I'm saying? I'm about to be able to go back and tell the church, we are building and breaking. Like, it's like we've been saying it by faith, but our faith is manifesting. And I was in my house, and he was supposed to have the meeting on Friday. And man, I didn't hear from him till late that afternoon. Finally, I think I emailed him and said, "Hey, Don, you know what's going on?" You know, and he basically told me that they didn't want to do the deal. You got it. So I went back to see Don. And I went in and I started talking to him, trying to figure out what was going on, and because I'm trying to figure it out. And so now what I'm doing is I've got to get him back in faith. So I'm like, no, Don, see, God called us to here, and we need a building like this. And as you can see, the finances, we can afford it. Oh yeah, you can afford it. And as you can see, we're not trying to build anything that's more extravagant than what we need. Oh no, you're not trying to do this. And you know, and I'm like, well, what were they saying? I'm probing. You understand what I'm saying? I'm working because I'm letting my faith work. You got it? You got it? I'm praying in the spirit as low as I can when he's talking. And so, man, we got to talking. We got to go back and forth. And I say this. He said, yeah. I say this. He said, yeah. I said this. He said, man, I'm going back to talk to them again. I said, I got it. And do you know, he went right back to the people that told him no. And when he went back on the second time, they changed their mind and told him yes. And we got the deal. And what am I saying? Sometimes you will be in faith for something and you won't get the results that you're expecting right away. And it is not the time to back up in faith because you're not getting the results that you want. Because faith demands that God is your source in your, right? And so what did I do? I stayed in faith and I wouldn't change my mind. And I realized I had gotten somebody in faith, but because somebody told him no, he had gotten out of faith. So I had to get him back in faith. And now we are all sitting and enjoying the manifestation of our faith. Does that make sense? Oh, it's good time. It's just a few minutes after eight. Can you do me a favor? Can you just stand all over the building? And we're just going to worship God just for a few minutes. It's very early. I'm not going to be long. We're going to get you out of here. But just lift your hands and just worship God. If you know how to pray in the spirit, just pray in the spirit. Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith that is in the room even now. And I thank you that faith has been increased in the hearts of the believers. And the word you gave me a few weeks ago, you said that miracles and signs and wonders would take place. And we fully expect miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives. I thank you that some will experience supernatural healings in their body. Some will experience supernatural debt freedom and debt cancellation. Some will experience supernatural increase on their jobs and in their businesses, oh God. Some are going to be supernaturally released from some things that have been weighing them down for a long time. And it is time to be released from it in the name of Jesus. And it's time to be released into some new and some fresh and some exciting things, because God's got so much for you. I say, take it. Ah, come here, Robin. Just stand right here. You ain't, they want us to social distance, so stand right there. That's good. Robinson, I didn't think about that. Come here, lady. Come here, Veronica. Zanny. Y'all lay hands on her. Which knee is it, Robin? Is it both knees or is it the left knee? Okay, lay hands on her. Resetake Laboko Rosata. Rosoto. Resete. Rositi. Randirio. Ha Laboko Rositi. Resetake Laboko Rosata. Rosoto. Randiriosa. Resiti. We speak supernatural repair to this knee right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. Father, we believe your word, and your word has virtue. And so we thank you for healing virtue flowing through this body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, and not just in this knee, but every part of this body. I command this body right now in the name of Jesus to be healed, to be whole, to be restored. I command everything to line up now in the name of Jesus. Virtue flow through that body right now in the name of Jesus. Rese te ke labo korosata. Rosoto. Brasata. Rese te ke labo korosata. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Now, Robin, it's all I need you to do is just do this one thing. Just say, I receive. I receive. Now, on your way back to on your way back to your chair, all you got, just, Father, I receive. I receive my healing in Jesus' name. I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a big praise all over the world.